much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Okay, so this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you everything you need, a nice little box with a pretty red ribbon on it, and then I'm going to walk away a free man. Okay? Rat and roll. Deal?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Okay, you kind of grab at the top.
Okay.
This is the teeth. This is the udder.
Okay.
You squeeze from the top, kind of, and then squeeze down.
Squeeze down. Okay. All right.
Squeeze. Down.
Now, is it better for me to double fist it, or should I do one udder at a time? I am a beginner. Keep that in mind.
I think you should do one at a time.
And did I really just say double fist it?
I don't know. You know, not a lot of things make me mad. Prejudice, traffic, bad waiters. BJ Novak is a children's book author now. How does that happen?
And now,
as the host of a late night show, I have to give the people what they want. And there is nothing that people want more than not Hitler.
Our feature presentation.
It's got a point.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah. Part of that in there was Allie's porn career. A lot of people didn't know before.
I was milking.
Before she worked here.
Milking a goat.
You did that kind of porn? It's so much worse than I thought.
I was literally just milking goat. It was on the news. Yeah, it wasn't porn. You'll have to search high and low for that.
What? But is it searchable?
Yeah. I mean.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 17th of September. You watched the debates?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, that's time I'll never get back.
And it was so long. This was like the longest debate ever.
I felt like there was no end.
No.
I just felt like if I woke up this morning, it would still be going on.
You didn't also watch the early debate, right?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I'm bringing in highlights today. Otherwise, I wouldn't watch a second of it.
No.
I can't stand those. Because everybody's like, you know what? In my state, we balance the budget and we have a $10 trillion surplus.
Right.
And everybody's like, what are you talking about? Like,
that wasn't the question, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, wow, it was something.
I'm not down with that.
No?
No.
Hmm.
I don't enjoy that at all.
And so many people on the stage. Too many people. That's why it took so long.
Yeah.
Too many people.
But there was a lot of yelling over each other, and I like that.
Okay.
So we got some highlights of that coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. But I'd like to start with this story. While we're talking about politics, there was a school board election. This is the strangest thing ever. I'm not sure where it is. Riceville is the name of the city. It doesn't really matter. A candidate for Riceville Board of Education received zero votes on Tuesday.
Oh.
Literally zero. No votes. Randy Richardson, 42, was the only candidate on the ballot.
I'm sorry.
There was one person on the ballot.
And they got no votes.
Correct. Right?
I'm confused.
I mean, don't you just have people show up and go, well, I don't know this race, but there's only one guy.
And so wouldn't Randy have voted for himself?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
So they said the Howard County deputy auditor said that receiving no votes is uncommon.
You think?
Thank you for that. And then they talk about how they're going to have a runoff election or something like that. The important thing here, though, is that he was the only person running. And he said no one, including himself, voted in his district. There were only 36 registered voters.
Okay.
No one voted for this particular office. He didn't vote for this particular office. He said, and I quote, I didn't vote because I was busy.
He was running.
He was running.
And he was the only person.
Yes.
How busy are you, Randy?
He was too busy.
What's going on?
I don't know.
In Riceville.
I don't know, but I love it. This is awesome right here. It's like
very lazy town.
You're the only person running, and you don't even vote for yourself. That's a guarantee, right? You get one vote.
Oh.
Now he's too busy.
Too busy.
Yeah.
What do you think he was doing in Riceville?
You mean instead of voting?
Mm-hmm.
Watching your porn?
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay, okay.
What's your guess?
I don't want to talk about it now. I'm just thinking about my porn.
Oh. That wasn't a good time for you?
No.
Okay.
Dark period.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I just don't care at all.
Former NFL great Herschel Walker will be joining us. Very excited about that.
Yeah, his life has changed after football, right?
Yeah. But you also don't get to interview people who are actually a major part of the NFL very often.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. We also have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Harley from Epic Mealtime in the studio. They've got their award show, which is the Streamies.
Yes. Can I ask you a question about him?
Please.
Because I know he's been in a ton.
Yeah.
Does he smell like meat?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all? 'Cause I assume he's just going to like have meat sweats.
I don't know what his sweat is made of.
Okay.
I don't think it's meat. Could be. Could be bacon, though. Could be bacon.
Okay.
And for people who like beards, I mean, come on. Right? He's got the best.
Yeah.
So that's coming up this morning as well. The Pope is in Philadelphia. Sort of a strange story. He picked a family to meet at the airport. Huh. A Philadelphian family.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So that can't go good, right?
Well, ask Hitchpot. We know how that ended up.
And we also have your tickets for Danny Elfman when it is he's playing the Hollywood Bowl on Halloween.
So good.
Very cool. We've got your tickets for that as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. Got a lot of show today. Herschel Walker on the program. Jim Rome. Harley from Epic Mealtime. Danny Elfman tickets. That's all coming up. But right now it is time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman is on vacation today. Allie McKay fills in.
Remember yesterday when Ralph mentioned how Elton John received a call from Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, that was weird.
Right? And they discussed how they would meet up, talk about gay rights. Kind of Elton was going to be our bridge to the Russian leader.
Everything about him is hateful toward gay people, so I found it odd that that would happen.
Well, looks like Elton John got punked.
I knew it!
Yeah. He was actually talking to a popular Russian comedian and prankster known as Vovan.
Vovan
now,
does
stay
good
with
work.
Me, because it's something like we've never heard. How would this ever happen, right?
Right.
Vovan's sidekick pretended to be Putin's press secretary, who made the call to Elton, making it sound legit. Then Vovan picked up, pretending to be Putin. They had a nice discussion. They made an agreement that they'll meet up later in person to continue the discussion.
That's great.
Elton then went to Instagram thanking him for the nice conversation, letting everyone know the story just went worldwide, spread like wildfire. And this comedian, prankster, if you will, wound up saying it was weird. He wasn't shocked. He didn't sound like, this is odd that Putin's calling me. He just kind of made it sound like, oh, this is cool.
Maybe
just,
that's Elton John's life.
Right? Oh, just Putin online too.
Make
no
him hold.
Yeah, no big deal. But the Kremlin has denied it ever happened. However, if he wants to make a call, Putin will pick up. He will speak to Elton John. So maybe they did some good.
I'm guessing not. By the way, I would just like to say, if it was Putin, they would also have the same response, which is that it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, not that we know, but...
Do you think that maybe now Putin's press secretary is going around to all different areas with a slideshow saying, if this were ever to happen, deny it?
Probably, yeah.
Huh.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That sounded too good to be true.
It did. I'm kind of bummed.
Yeah,
me
too.
I'm bummed about it.
That's too bad.
Yesterday we found out about Steve Ranazzisi. I don't know how to say his name. The guy from the league that lied about being in one of the towers at 9/11.
Said he was in one of the towers, got out just in time.
Just in time. And then he wound up saying something about his girlfriend was supposed to be there as well, but she wound up calling in sick that day. He's been using this story for well over a decade.
In interviews and everything else?
Interviews, podcasts, everything. That is why he left New York City to move to L.A. That was the final straw.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Yeah. Well, yesterday he wound up tweeting an apology because none of that was true. And we were trying to figure out, well, why now? Why are you finally apologizing for it now? And we found out that...
By the way, the answer to that is always that they're about to be busted.
Yes.
Right?
And you would be correct as well. Because confronted this week with evidence that undermined his account from the New York Times, they were kind of putting stuff together, like the place he said he worked at, Merrill Lynch, isn't even located in one of the towers.
He's not a good liar.
So that's a... But the fact that nobody caught that earlier, but then again, why would you be looking for that?
I don't think you would doubt that.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of story that you would go, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. Well, he took a lot of heat on Twitter, and this, I'm trying to pull it up online here. He got a tweet from SNL's Pete Davidson, who, I don't know if you remember this, he lost his father 9/11. So Pete wound up tweeting him, "It's okay, Steve. People make mistakes. Can't wait to meet my father for lunch later."
Oh.
To which Steve Ranazzi responded, "Thank you, Pete. I really appreciate it."
He didn't know his...
He didn't know his dad had passed away. Pete responded to him, "I think you missed my point." Steve deleted it, blah, blah, blah. It goes back and forth. But then Pete wound up coming out and saying, "All kidding aside, the story sucks because he's actually a funny comic and I love the league. Take it easy on him. He reached out to me. He's truly sorry. We all sometimes lie and exaggerate a story to seem cooler." So Pete Davidson taking the high road.
He's a
on
good
that
dude.
One. Yeah.
Who lies about this to seem cooler? Are you cooler if you got out of the towers?
It's
I guess maybe it's something to talk about. But.
So very strange. But it's just one of those things. Huh. You lie, then it snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. And then
I wouldn't know anything about that.
You wouldn't?
Nope.
Huh.
Nothing. Snowballing lies? Nope.
Nothing?
Just builds up.
Yeah.
No.
Called into an office.
No,
you have to
thank God that's never happened
make
to me.
Apologies.
Nope.
Nothing like that?
No.
Good
it's
to
never
know.
Happened.
You liar!
Yeah. Good to know. File this under, De Niro. That's actually a file.
I don't have a file name.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, De Niro.
So he's one of the richest men in showbiz, rumored with a $200 million fortune. But will he splurge on the brand new iPhone? No. Why would he? He's a 72-year-old man that refuses to give up his flip phone.
Uses a flip phone.
He uses a flip phone.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong crowd to try and get to change phones or anything, because when you're 70 or 80 or whatever, that's who you are.
You don't see him, like, Snapchatting.
No.
Look at my rainbow tongue. I'm De Niro. No.
I'm throwing up rainbows.
You don't see that?
Nope.
Well, that came out on a press junket for the new movie he's in with Anne Hathaway. She wound up telling people that the piece of archaic technology is just easier for him to use.
The flip phone.
The flip phone.
So what file does it go in?
Oh, De Niro.
Okay.
It's real. It's real. Check it out. Are you guys ready for a reboot of Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol?
Sure. Hasn't that been done?
A million times.
Yeah.
But are you ready for the new Scrooge? Who will be the one going to visit the past, present, and future? Who will be the new Scrooge?
Donald Trump.
Nope.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's a good guess, though. That guy's smart.
Think of someone that's pretty hot right now.
Pretty hot
has
right
a movie
now.
That is still charting top five right now. Very L.A.-centric.
What?
You can do it.
I can't do it.
I see Chip writing something down. I can't wait to see what it is.
Ice Cube.
Yes!
What?
Chip! Did you do that as a joke, too?
Yeah.
I knew it! It is Ice Cube.
What?
Deadline is reporting that Ice Cube will star as Scrooge. I'm in. Right?
Yeah, he seems to be able to pull off pretty much anything.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well right
now,
Ice Cube.
Interesting. All right.
That was fun.
I'll check it out.
Absolutely. Some birthdays today. Actor Kyle Chandler is turning 50. Raptor. I wish he was a raptor.
Yeah.
But he's a rapper. Dougie Fresh. He's turning 49 years old today. Actor Malik Yoba, he is 48. And NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson is turning 40. I see you brought out the bell.
Just in case.
There are
I didn't know.
Ladies on this list.
All right.
But I'd give Dougie Fresh. No?
No.
So Dougie Fresh?
We don't have a man bill.
6 minutes?
Doesn't
Dougie
exist.
Fresh, you're on.
No, I know what you're talking about. No.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Wow. Oh, maybe I'm not the guy to watch the debates. Maybe I'm the wrong guy.
Or maybe you're the exact guy to watch the debates.
I feel like I'm not. Last night, the GOP debate was on again. This is the second one. And it was 10 hours long.
It was over 3 hours, so that is extremely long. And for me that was enjoying it,
how,
it was long.
Hold. How does anybody on this planet enjoy that?
I like to see the interactions between the candidates. I like to see them kind of jab at each other. I like to see how they're going to react. I was very curious to see how Carly Fiorina would do because she wasn't able to be in the first big boy one. She was kind of sitting.
Why not? I didn't.
They have two debates. So they have the kind of the lesser candidates, the one that really aren't polling well in the early one. And then they have the what I call the adult table.
That was not the adult table, I'll tell you that.
Yes, which makes it so much funnier that she was finally called up to the adult table and she was probably looking around like, this is where I wanted to be with these guys.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
As you can imagine, Donald Trump was pretty much in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
And the first question, I think, was a question designed just to have everybody talk bad about Donald Trump and have him react. Mm-hmm. And the first question was, do you trust him with his finger on the button?
Yeah.
And they argued a long time, and then Rand Paul spoke up.
And it's not pretty between the two of them.
Why does he hate Rand Paul so much?
Well, he doesn't think he should be there. He's got a 1%, I guess, in the polls, and he doesn't understand why he's there. He makes fun of every aspect of him.
All right. Every aspect.
Every aspect.
And you'll hear in this next clip exactly how he does it. But so they were talking about Donald Trump. Do you trust him? Other candidates wouldn't say. That's mm-hmm. what drives me crazy.
Yeah, they were typical politicians.
I don't know. Let the people decide.
Yeah.
No, it's a question.
Yeah.
Do you trust him or not? Rand Paul took it on.
I think his response, his visceral response to attack people on their appearance, short, tall, fat, ugly. My goodness, that happened in junior high. Are we not way above that? Would we not all be worried to have someone like that in charge of the nuclear arsenal?
Jake, I never attacked him on his look. And believe me, there's plenty of subject matter right there. That I can tell you.
But Jake,
this is a man running for president of the United States of America.
That makes me so happy.
No!
It really does, because when Rand Paul's talking, you're like, yes, yes, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
This is so childish to make fun of people's looks. And then Donald Trump makes fun of him, and I don't know. It made me laugh. Maybe I'm in junior high.
You are.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So then they started talking over each other. Mm-hmm. And that was 3 hours of the debate. Oh, yeah. It was only 100% of the debate where they were mm-hmm. talking over each other. And this is a little taste of that.
Jake, I want to give Mr. Trump.
It doesn't work for anybody on this stage.
I was a businessman. I got along with Clinton. I got along with everybody.
Yeah, but the simple fact is.
Excuse me. One second.
No.
The simple fact is, Donald, you cannot take.
When he asked Florida to have casino gambling, we said no.
Wrong.
That's the Kevin School of Debate.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Wrong.
Yeah. Jeb Bush had brought up that he wanted to bring gambling into Florida, and Jeb said absolutely not. And Bush would not let it go. He's like, if I wanted to, I could. I just have to call my people. I could have done it. Like, really? Oh, so good.
All right. So then here's a little montage of some of the stuff that went on. And you can hear the candidates talking over each other. And I think, thank you, Senator, might be the least effective words in the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever the moderator was.
Jake Tapper.
He would say it.
Yeah.
And it just meant nothing.
Yeah.
And everybody just kept talking. So here you go. This is kind of a supercut of last night's debate.
I would certainly love to get in on this.
Well, you can use your minute however you want, but I want to ask this question.
And I'm going to just say this about Iran.
Hold on a second. Jake, he asked me as well.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator Chris.
Jake, I want
to. We're going to go to Dana Bash.
No. I want to say something about.
This is what the entire debate sounded like to me.
Yeah.
It was driving me crazy. And that's why when I listen to that, I go, how can you possibly like that?
So it was good.
What the Senator just said. Let me make it clear.
If we know respond. I want to turn back to Governor Huckabee. Governor, you said.
Thank you, Senator. Governor, I want to go to you.
Make him veto if that's what he wants to do. And why don't we do the same thing with Planned Parenthood? We elected a Republican Congress to do this, and they should be doing it, and they're not.
Dana, I'd like
one more time. I'm sorry. I just want to get an answer.
I put it in the list.
Donald Trump, let me just. The quote was, I'm not sure we need $500 million.
All right, so that was the first hour and a half, and here's the second hour and a half.
I know, but why did you say it? I heard it myself.
Child support.
You said you're going to cut funding for women's health issues. You said it.
Record.
So that went on all night. That's what drove me crazy. I saw your tweet, your mm-hmm. idea. My idea at first was, why don't you cut the microphones of everybody mm-hmm. else except for the person who's talking?
Yeah.
Your idea was what? Because I sort of liked it.
It was a free tip to CNN. I said, first time they talk over each other, cut the mic. Second time, the floor opens up. We never see that candidate again.
Awesome.
Gone.
That would have been great. That would have been
that
so
good.
That
would be like pay-per-view numbers. People would watch that.
So, thank you, Senator. Actually worked one time in the debate, and I'm going to play for you.
Put in place a strong biometric exit entry
system. Thank you, Senator.
What? He shut up?
He stopped.
Wow.
It worked.
Yeah.
Carly Fiorina, am I saying that right?
Yep.
This is the politician and the woman who used to run Hewlett-Packard that Donald Trump saw on the TV and said, look at her. Do you want her to be the president?
Yeah. Do you want that face as your president?
Right. And I thought her response was pretty good, which is, I think the people know exactly what you meant.
Yeah, because he wound up saying, oh, I didn't say it as a bad thing. I meant her persona.
Right, which is a lie.
Yeah.
And then he said this last night.
I think she's got a beautiful face, and I think she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. That's just not true.
Yeah, not at all.
It just isn't true.
Not at all.
And by the way, if you're upset by any of this conversation, honestly, I don't care. I'm not trying to get you to vote for any of these people or not vote for any of these people. I think the Democratic ones are going to be just the same.
Yeah.
It's just like it is grade school. Everybody's yelling over each other and just talking. But there were two good questions to me. One is, what woman would you put on the $10 bill?
Oh, my God.
I loved that so much.
I cringed because I thought to myself, someone's going to screw up this answer in a big way. And yeah, they
well,
did.
Well, I don't know. I didn't pull all of the answers.
Oh, if you... okay.
I mean, there was Mother Teresa, and there was a whole bunch of people that just... But the one that struck me as so politician-y, I don't think that's a word, but...
It is now.
All right.
Earlier this year, the Treasury Department announced that a woman will appear on the $10 bill. What woman would you like to see on the $10 bill?
That's an easy one. I'd put my wife on there.
Oh! F*** you!
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, at least he picked an American.
Well, yeah. I mean, other people did.
Jeb Bush picked Margaret Thatcher.
He did.
Sweet spirit.
But at least he said, this might not be legal. Like, look, I'm an idiot. I hate politics. Pretty sure it's not legal. But then Donald Trump answered the question, what woman should be on the $10 bill?
Mr. Trump.
Well, because she's been sitting for 3 hours, I think my daughter Ivanka, who's right here.
Yeah.
Plus he wants to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has thoughts about his daughter that are real inappropriate.
Very sexually charged by her. And then finally they were talking about the Secret Service and how they have a nickname for the president. And so they asked, what nickname would you give yourself?
What would you want, Governor Christie, I'll start with you, your Secret Service code name to be?
I would just say True Heart.
True Heart.
I can't.
True Heart is on the move. No.
Nope.
Unit one.
Unit one, which is strangely what I called my penis in college.
Secretariat.
Secretariat.
Yeah, she went horse. I like it.
She went horse.
It's a strong
horse. It's a strong horse.
Yeah.
But it's a horse.
It is a horse nonetheless.
So I don't think they're going to put a horse on the $10 bill.
No, this
I'm sorry. I mean, call her that for, I mean, is it possible that the Secret Service would ever refer to her as Secretariat?
Maybe behind her back.
But not to anyone else.
Governor Walker?
Harley. I love riding Harleys.
All right. He likes to ride Harleys.
Cool.
Good.
Relatable.
Ever ready. It's very high energy, Donald.
Well, that wasn't bad.
See, that was a joke Jeb Bush was making because in the last debate, Donald Trump said, ugh, get some energy behind you. You're so boring. Everybody's tuning out. So he was like a battery.
That wasn't bad.
Way to go, Jeb.
That wasn't bad. And then...
All right, on that note...
On that note, we're not going to listen anymore. This
no
one's just too
You're
frustrating.
Done.
I hate it, and I hate you all, and I hate politics, and I hate me.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Ralph did a story yesterday in the showbiz that is one of the most unbelievable stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, he prefaced it by saying, I can't stop thinking about this, and I need to share it with you. And boy, am I glad he did.
Yeah. The original story was this woman met somebody on Facebook, and they had a long conversation, talked back and forth, you know, emailed, everything else. And then when it finally came to meeting this guy, the guy said, look, I've got some real problems with the way I look. You know, I've got some issues.
Yeah.
Maybe there's stuff wrong with, I got in an accident. Maybe there's stuff wrong with my face.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to see me this way. It'll ruin everything. So would you mind putting on a blindfold? Now, the word blindfold is a scare word to me.
Yeah.
Don't you just
It triggers some fear.
But wait.
Yeah.
Can't we just meet in the dark?
Yeah.
Nope. Got to put on a blindfold.
Okay.
So the dude walks over and knocks on the door in a hotel room. puts on the blindfold, and then they sit there for a while and they have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they watch TV.
Yeah.
Still with the blindfold on.
Sure.
And then he leaves.
Okay.
They spent, according to this lawsuit, over 100 hours with each other.
Wow.
Many different times.
Serious relationship.
Having sex. But the dude would never let her take off the blindfold. Isn't that sort of a...
Yeah. You would think after maybe a couple times, listen, I'm into you. Your face is not going to scare me. I'd like to see what I'm working with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what you're working
with. But no, because I'm worried that it's, you know, it's Beauty and the Beast, basically.
Sure.
It's once you see me, it'll ruin everything.
I'm hideous.
So it kept going and it kept going, and they watched TV for a while. Did you say they were sunbathing?
Yeah, it says they watched TV for hours upon hours. They would sunbathe together. Again, always wearing a blindfold.
So they would lay out in the sun in a blindfold?
None of this makes sense, Kevin.
So after hundreds of hours and many different times having sex, it finally got too much for her.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I got to take off the blindfold.
Yeah,
I have to, which I think would have been all of our responses in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If we put it on in the first place,
absolutely.
Maybe 10 minutes. So she took off her blindfold and it was, it was her best friend. And, mm-hmm. And it was a she.
What?
It was a girl. She had been using sex toys.
A prosthetic, if
yes,
you will.
Yes, so that she didn't think of anything.
Okay.
And they had sex many, many different times. And she's like, wait, it's not a guy at all?
Not even a little bit.
No, I was attracted to you and I don't really know how to go about that.
It says here that she wore a swimming costume and wrapped her body in bandages and put a woolly hat on to keep up the disguise. Is happening.
So she takes off her blindfold and it's her best friend who's a girl.
Oh.
And now they're in court.
Sure.
Because she's being accused of a bunch of different things, but
yeah.
Okay, here's my question.
Sure.
If you fall in love with a person,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that maybe she's not lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you fall in love with a person, don't you at least consider, hey, I love that person. I spent a lot of time with that person. We had sex, seemed to be good. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. Don't you think this is a spirit that I love? This is a soul that I love?
Sure.
No.
No?
Nope.
But once you have to get over the whole, oh, you betrayed me and lied to me.
Well, there's that.
For that long. But at what point does she kind of look internally and say, what am I missing in my life that I was willing to put up with wearing a blindfold for that many hours? She was looking for love, you guys.
Hundreds of hours.
Hundreds. Watching TV with a blindfold on?
Laying in the sun with a blindfold on?
What?
I mean, at some point, and I'm honestly the last person to, quote, blame the victim, but come on.
Yeah.
They were laying in the sun. She had to wear a blindfold.
Do you understand now why I'm so skeptical of people, Kevin?
Well, this is a strange story. This is not every person that you meet on the street.
I don't know.
Ah, you got trouble. Former NFL great Herschel Walker joins us in studio. Very excited about that. We also have Harley from Epic Mealtime on the program today. And Danny Elfman, Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl. Got your tickets for that coming up as well. I don't know if you saw this story. The Pope is in the United States, and he's touring different cities.
Yeah.
And in Philadelphia, they actually picked a family to meet the Pope at the airport.
Yeah.
That's sort of weird, right?
That's huge. Yeah.
I can't imagine how huge that is.
Yeah.
I mean, how many Catholics are there, and how many of them have actually met the Pope?
Yeah. Let alone you get to go to an airport and have a private greeting, essentially, with kind of the biggest dude in your religion.
You call him the biggest dude?
I am not understating that.
Yeah. So it's a man and his wife and their three mm-hmm. kids, and they show up at the airport, and they get a chance to meet the Pope.
Unbelievable.
Pretty cool. And we thought we would check in with Pope Francis just to find out what's going on.
Awesome.
We actually have him on the line right now. Good morning, Your Holiness.
Good morning to you. How's everybody there in Los Angeles, which, you know, is one of my favorite cities because it's the city of angels.
Sure, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yes. Nice. How are things in Philadelphia?
It's so much nice here in Philadelphia. I love the people.
Uh-huh.
I love the cheese sticks. I put it on some weight. It's hard to fit in my robe. I tell you, and the press off pretzels, the food here is so good.
Right. Do you have a favorite cheese steak?
I do. I love a good Jim's. Jim's Steaks on South Street. Okay. I just walked in there incognito to get myself a steak. Sometimes I travel in disguise. I dress as a rabbi. And nobody knows it's me because, you know, they go, oh, look, that's a Jew. But they don't know it's me. The opposite of that.
So you just walk down the street and find any food that you want.
Yes. Uh-huh. They have lots of street vendors in Philadelphia and lots of street people also in Philadelphia. But I try to bless them. I throw them a quarter, and then I get something to eat.
Throw them a quarter?
Yes. Well, you know, times are tough, even for the Pope.
What about this family that you're visiting? What about the local family in Philadelphia that you're staying? You're staying at their house. Are you staying over?
No, I'm not staying with them.
I heard you were staying for like 3 days.
You really should read the stories before you go on the phone, because it's just that their family was chosen to meet me at the airport and greet me to Philadelphia.
I'm
not sleeping on the couch. I'm not in the rec room with the dog and, you know, Uncle Louie sleeping with them. No, I have a nice hotel here in Philadelphia. They came to greet me. A nice Catholic family came to greet me at the airport. The Bowles family. They are the Bowles.
The Bowles.
I'm not sure how to say their name.
Maybe the Bose.
It's B-O-W-E-S. Bose. Just yeah. Bose, maybe.
Much more tasteful. I didn't even know how to say it. Hello, Mr. Bowell. I was like, you don't want to say that to nobody, because then... And so that better. I'm glad to hear the better, the Bowles. And I met Richard and Bernadette, the mother and father.
Right.
Very nice couple. And their children, Riley and Matthew and Gabrielle, I think was her little name. And I'll tell you, the mother, Bernadette, whew, hotsy-totsy. You know what I'm saying? She's a looker.
You're saying that the mother of the family is hot?
Oh, ugh. I'd like to give her a papal blessing. You know what I'm saying?
Your holiness.
Holy water, right?
Wow.
Who's with me?
That's inappropriate.
Listen, hey, let me tell you something. Just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't look at the menu, okay? I'm not saying I did nothing. I didn't touch her. I didn't say, hey, would you like to see the papal staff?
Right.
I didn't say, hey, here's my pontiff. I didn't say any of those things to her. I didn't touch. But in my mind, you see, we're friends. I thought I could share with you what I was thinking in my mind at the airport. I was like, oh, boy. Yeah, I'd like to take the Pope-a-mobile for a ride there. You know what I'm saying?
I think.
I wanted to okay? Jesus, you're so dense sometimes. The Pope's got to draw you a picture?
I would like that, yes.
All right, I got one right here. I did a watercolor of
excellent.
What I thought her looked like.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5 minutes till 7. Herschel Walker will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. Very excited about that. And Danny Elfman, we've got your tickets for Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl coming up as well. Ralph Garman is out today only. He'll be back tomorrow. Allie is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
You just mentioned Halloween.
Yes.
Great place to go, the Hollywood Bowl. Check out Danny Elfman. But if you can't, I have something for you.
Okay.
Do you remember R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet?
Oh. I worshipped that song.
He goes through, talks about a one-night stand, then the lies, the deceit, all the different twists and turns that develop out of it. I think we have a clip.
Yeah, and
a refresher.
And it's like a 10-minute clip, so you just tell me when you've had enough.
Okay.
Okay.
Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, then they go through this thing, arguing, fussing, then time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover, Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, what? And then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone. Oh, then he got to his house, bust up in it, to find
what's
his
that?
Wife, Gwendolyn. She was around with this house, she said, there's policemen. And then they got into a fight.
Okay.
Is that enough?
I think so.
I can't hear you.
I think that's it.
Just a lick. He's barely hurt. The hickory Rosie nosy neighbor. She thinks she's the neighborhood safe.
Do you remember Rosie the nosy neighbor?
I hated
her.
She was
awful. She's the worst.
Awful. Well, if you don't have plans this Halloween, how about a quick flight to New Jersey?
Okay.
Why, you ask yourself? Because a company will be presenting the first 12 chapters, note for note in its entirety with an orchestra of 20 to Trapped in the Closet.
Oh, yeah! My God.
What?
I would walk there for that.
Right? First time ever in
That's
the history
great.
Of the world has this ever been attempted.
That way, sounds awesome.
Way to go, Strand Theater.
Where are you, Chuck?
Are they putting that in there?
Well, it's all 12 chapters. But Trapped in the Closet.
He did more than 12, though, so maybe they'll
You're
do
right.
it. Maybe they'll continue
right.
the series. She did like another 12.
You
it's all
what?
Nonsense.
It's only the first 12 chapters.
Yep.
Maybe.
More to come.
More to come.
Yeah.
Christmas? I mean, Halloween, you get your fix, and then what's a better Christmas gift than
Nothing.
The next 12?
Zero.
Zero. Zero.
Can't wait.
Way to go, New Jersey. Speaking of way to go, we know them as new kids on the block. Donnie, Joey, Danny, Jordan, and Jonathan are coming back for a second season of their hit show, Rock This Boat. Rock This Boat.
Wait, did you say...
Second season.
Hit show?
Of their hit show.
Called what?
Rock This Boat.
Rock This Boat.
It's on the Pop Network.
I don't know any of the words that you're saying.
Right? None of it makes sense, really, to anyone. I was a fan of New Kids on the Block.
Who was your favorite?
It's tough. It's a tough call because I liked Joey. He was
sure.
the baby of the group. He
right.
was the sweet one.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jonathan, I mean, he handled a lot of the lead vocals.
Right.
So he was hot.
So you're watching
Not
this
Jonathan,
show on...
Jordan, excuse me.
Take
I don't
easy.
Want the emails from blockheads. You know what I'm saying? But this show, in case you're wondering what happens, it's a fan cruise where they get on a cruise ship
right.
with their fans. This time they're going from Miami to the Bahamas. Cameras placed inside each band member's cabin, as well as backstage to capture their real interactions, banter, and private moments.
Okay, look, I know
Do we
that.
Do need that?
No, you love them. Do you need?
I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to lie to you. I went to their show at the Staples Center. Maybe my best friend from junior high flew in from where she's living, and we went to the show, and we looked around, and we were like, we are these people.
Yeah.
We're these people mm-hmm. right now seeing them perform.
Right.
And now these people are stuck on a cruise
They're
ship.
All on a cruise. And if this is fresh off the boat? What is this?
Close. It is called Rock This Boat.
Rock This Boat.
Ooh.
Season 2.
Season 2 of the hit show on Pop Network.
I don't know Pop Network either.
It's formerly TV Guide Network, which
okay.
is formerly TVGN. They've gone through a lot of changes,
yes, they have.
Apparently. Also, good news for Game of Thrones fans. We all saw Jon Snow die a very sad death at the end of last season. But now we're seeing pictures of him mm-hmm. where they're filming. What's happening? Well, Kit Harington slipped up in a recent interview saying he's still under contract to the show. And it will, quote, be part of my life for a while.
Did you see him die?
Yo, yeah.
He died.
He's dead.
Dead.
Ish.
But dead or dead-ish?
Dead-ish. We don't know. We're going to find out.
Twin brother?
Oh, I hope so. It's like Jimmy Snow comes back.
Just saying.
Jimmy Snow.
They could do it that way.
They could. All these stars were all born on today, September the 17th. Actor Kyle Chandler, he's 50. Rapper Dougie Fresh. 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're wrong. Don't you love Dougie Fresh?
I like Dougie Fresh.
I love him.
I don't know that I love.
I love him. 49. Malik Yoba is 48. And NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson turns 40 years young today. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
We welcome to the studio Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker, All-American at Georgia, won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Played for the Dallas Cowboys, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Giants. Had a great career. Went into fighting. Does everything.
You're leaving out my favorite part of the prep. Bobsledder.
He's a bobsledder.
What?
Well, you forgot about ballet.
Ballet as well.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You have done everything.
Well, I needed something else to do. I may be running for president, so I'm going to throw my name in a hat.
All right. I like
Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
Yes. I like it.
Well, you're not busy. So,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So how many years were you in the NFL?
I played pro ball 15 years.
15.
I played 12 years in the NFL and 3 in the USFL. So I played 15 years of pro ball.
And when you watch today's NFL, is it Is it weird? Do you have thoughts about it? Has it changed a lot?
Has changed a great deal.
It's changed a lot.
They've gone to the passing game, which is kind of different since I'm a running
back. Yeah, when Herschel played, it was just give him the ball. Yeah,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what's strange about it, and I mentioned it a year ago. I said, guys, you better get back to the running backs or you're going to start losing games. And you saw what happened to Seattle in the Super Bowl, whether they were warm or not.
But let's refresh people's memory.
Yeah. She's a Patriots fan.
Well,
so.
Everyone make mistakes, but they're not cheating this. They're not cheating this time.
How
they did it right.
Herschel
I think
Walker.
They did it right. I didn't mean to say that.
All right, so it's very different. What's the biggest change from when you were in the NFL today?
Well, I think the biggest change today is for me as a running back, you know, they do running backs by committee. You know, I watched a game this past week, and you wanted, I think, the best player you've seen play is Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adrian Peterson didn't really play that much. I didn't even know he was on the team.
Yeah.
And he got in and out, and then I said, you know, it's a little bit funny because Minnesota was never out of that game until the third quarter. And they never even went to the running game, so I thought that was different.
Are you talking about the Monday night game?
Yes, the Monday
All right.
night game.
Now, I'm just going to give you my opinion of the Monday night game. That may have been the worst NFL game I've ever seen.
Well, it was a lot of mistakes.
A lot of mistakes.
I don't think that was the worst. That was a couple other games that was worse. This year, I think the first game of the season, that was a lot of mistakes that was made by a lot of teams.
Eli Manning.
That was absolutely amazing.
That was ridiculous.
Well, I think the problem they have is, the last preseason game, most teams don't let their players play.
Right.
They start throwing it in and one. And I think that's not good. I think you got to let those guys play because you're going into the regular season and you want to put a good product in front of the people. And I think the first week, it was a lot of mistakes made. You know, Seattle, I don't want to get on Seattle, but I know Seattle is not coached like that. You know, they made a lot of mistakes, and that's the reason they lost the game.
Do you think that the Super Bowl is so in Pete Carroll's head? He says it isn't, but I feel like every decision he's making, he's second-guessing.
Well, I don't know whether he's second-guessing, but because, it's funny. When I was in Minnesota, Pete Carroll was there. He was a linebacker coach.
Wow.
And he's a great coach, but I think that he forgot about – he has a great running back.
Yeah.
You know, he forget about that. Like, guys – the Super Bowl, and you don't know whether he would have scored or not, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to second guess him there. But this past week, you go, wait a minute, coach, what are you doing?
He decides to pass now.
Yes, and passing is great, but as a running back, if you want to win games, be able to control the ball, let mm-hmm. me tell you the reason why. You give that offensive line an opportunity to dominate the defense. You give them something to be proud of. Now, I mean, you try to drop back trying to block a guy that's 6'6", runs a 4'6", and this guy got those arms like a gorilla.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what, he's very difficult to block.
Yeah.
And you got to block him all day. That is very difficult. But give the offensive line a chance to fire off that ball and hit this guy square in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that develops some dominance. And I think that's what they were not doing now.
So you think the NFL has gone way too much to the pass and is not counting enough on – because it always seemed to me like if you set up the run, then you can pass.
Well, let's go back to another example. The Cowboys last year, the reason they started looking like they were a great team, why? They ran the ball.
Yeah.
And then everyone said they got the best offensive line in the NFL. What did they do? They dominated at the line of scrimmage because they ran the ball. Well, everyone from the Cowboys played with guys from the 49ers, played with coaches. You know, they all went to college. You know, you have different guys. But it's just your philosophy, what type of philosophy you want. And if you want to have a great team, have a great defensive line, have a great offensive line, because those guys are going to set the standards for you.
All right, I'm going to ask a question, and I hope your answer is I don't want to answer it.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm tired of it, but if you have insight, I'd like to hear
Uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Spygate, Deflategate.
Okay.
If you have insight, fine. If not, we'll move right on.
He looks right at me.
I'm pretty tired of it.
My insight is when you're guilty of so many things, something you're guilty of. There are so many things been thrown at him. And my opinion is I know for a fact every quarterback know how those balls feel.
That's what
they all have a preference. They've all said they have a preference.
And one of the things I want to say is, you know, it's great that Tom Brady worn his suit, but everyone now has an opportunity to go in front of the commission and take the commissioner and say, hey, I don't think you ruled this right.
Yeah.
Now should everybody now go to court? Mm-hmm. I think that's a problem that I didn't like. And I'm happy Tom won, but I think right now you got to go to, everybody got to go to court. And, you know, I think, you know, the guy at the Cowboys, Harvey, is it Harvey? The one that refused abusing his wife.
Even though
we think he's guilty, mm-hmm. everyone thinks he's guilty, but in a court of law, he was found not guilty.
Yeah.
So is the NFL above the court of law?
So how do you feel the NFL is being run?
I think they're doing a decent job?
No,
I think he's doing a great job.
A great job.
I think it's very, very difficult now. And
you might be the only person.
Well, no, let me tell you. I think it's very, very difficult because everybody now got their eyes on him. They're pointing him out, and I think he's got to get a little bit more sterner. I think he's got to lay the law down. This is the way it's got to be. And we got to quit questioning him. And I think Tom Brady now has made it that everybody's going to question him from now on. But, you know, I think he's done a very, very good job. You know, you look at the product the NFL has done. Look at the amount of money that they make.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what you do as a business. You know, you don't find many businesses that's doing things like that. And you look at what the players are making. You know, when I played, I ain't make anything. I'm making peanuts. Now the guys are making a lot of money.
Does that drive you crazy to see these new contracts that are $100 million?
Not at all. And let me tell the people something which they may not know. A lot of these contracts are not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have it in it, basketball and baseball, the contract may be guaranteed. A lot of NFL football players, and I try to tell them, guys, do not sign for 5-6 years because you're not going to receive any money after the third year. Sign a short-term contract. If you think
they should do that their whole career?
I think they should do it their whole career if they got confidence in themselves. You got to believe in yourself that if you go out and play well, that they're going to continue to pay you. But if you go out and sign a 5-year deal, after the second year, they're going to want you to renegotiate. You hear so many guys renegotiating that contract.
When I hear about people that are like, these, you know, it's an exorbitant amount of money. These guys have such a small window that they can make money. You better make as much as you can in that window.
That's true there.
Herschel, I want to ask you about changing teams amongst rivals. Because you played for the Cowboys. You played for the Eagles. You played for the Giants. It seems like all of those fan bases hate each other.
Well, it was difficult.
What's it like for you?
Well, it was difficult, but you know, I was setting up. Like I said, if I run for president, I can carry those states, and so that's why I was setting up for people. But it was very difficult because you know, when I first went to the Cowboys, I thought that was my home.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be my home. Everything was going to be there, and then
there's no home, is there?
There's absolutely no home, okay. Which is sad because fans cannot get accustomed to a player because the player may not be there the next year.
Yeah,
and when they said that Herschel, you're traded to Minnesota, it totally shocked me.
What does that do with your mind?
You know, I was like, wait a minute, they don't want me here anymore. But then you look at what they gave up to get me in Minnesota. You go, whoa. But, you know, I went up to Minnesota, and this is honest truth. That's one of the best places I've ever lived in my life.
In Minnesota?
I hate cold weather, but the people of Minnesota was the nicest people to me in the world. And this is what was so strange. The people absolutely loved me in Minnesota. I thought the team hated me. because, you know, I didn't play that much there in Minnesota. And, you know, the word was out that Herschel Walker can't run out of a split backfield. Well, they never gave me an opportunity to run out of split bike field. They just assumed I couldn't. Huh. But, you know, I absolutely love Minnesota. Minnesota is like a hidden secret, I think.
So when you go to the Eagles, when you go to the Giants?
I went to the Eagles, the fan bases
give you a hard time?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Remember, I started in New York.
Right.
I started in New York with Donald Trump. And being in Philly, now, that's a tough place.
You said you started in New York with Donald Trump.
Yes. So I
say what that means.
Well, no, I started in New York with Donald Trump because he only
He was in the backfield. Yeah, he was in the backfield. He was the lead blocker for Herschel.
Yeah, when I first came out of college, and I went up to New York, and Donald Trump owned the New Jersey Generals. So,
Which is the USFL.
Yeah. So I was there in New York with Donald in New York for 3 years before I even went over to the NFL. And, you know, every place I went in the NFL, the fans absolutely adopted me and they loved me there. But I think they also love me because I get involved in the community. And I think that's very, very important for athletes to get into the community. And the reason why is Coach Landry, who I consider one of the best coaches ever to coach football.
Dallas Cowboys coach.
Used to always say, if you take something out of a society, put something back in. Well, I was paid a lot of money. You know, I joke about it, I wasn't, but I was paid a lot of money from those teams. And I think it was I had to get into the community to show the people that I thank them for coming out and supporting me. And I think that's the reason why that
they
I have a good relationship.
Well.
They responded very well to it.
I read in an interview that you think you could still play.
Well, yeah, they say
I'm
I think I can
him.
Still. They say,
oh,
I'm
looking at
he
him.
He could play.
Well, and that's the word. They keep saying that I said that I think I can still play. No,
did
I said I know I can still play.
I know I can still play. All right.
And the reason I say that is, like I said, they do running backs by committee. And I go out during the offseason and I train with a lot of the guys that are playing today.
And by committee, that means a guy comes in for first down, another guy comes
in
for
second
down.
Right. This guy plays third
down.
So
you're not the workhorse like you used to.
No running back is today. You know, you look at Adrian Peterson, he didn't even play that much. And that's the guy, DeMarcus Murray. Mm-hmm. The Eagles paid a lot of money for him. He didn't play that much. And I said, that's what's so strange is I can get in there and I guarantee I can do something to help the team out.
And have you had any interest?
No, not at all. You know, I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting. I still say I want to get a fight. And then, people forget I own a company. I own a couple of companies. I have the largest minority-owned chicken company in the United States.
Is that right?
Yes. I've been selling chicken now for about 16 years, my company has, and have one of the largest minority-owned promotion companies in the United States, about 800 employees. And people don't even know that outside of sports, I'm doing other things as well, and I treat between 4,000 to 5,000 soldiers a year. I'm at a base once a month anywhere in the world, and I say that, guys, I'm still doing all this, and people say, how do you have all the time? Well, one of the things we got to do is quit making excuses. People make excuses all the time. You know, everyone think I'm a weightlifter. Do you know I never lifted weights in my life?
That's not
true. Where
did
those arms come from?
That's a lie.
Come from push-ups and sit-ups, just those
what?
Guns. Yeah, you know, I grew up as a fat little kid, and I think my inspiration was that, you know, you got to quit using excuses. You know, people always say, I don't have the time. Yeah, you have to make the time. If you want it, you got to make the time to do it. And that's what I try to do is just make the time to get things done that I need to get done.
All right, Herschel Walker is here. We're going to talk about Bellator MMA Dynamite 1.
Yes.
In just a second, we'll be right back. We're finding a lot out about Herschel Walker. He's fascinating. He played in the NFL for a lot of years with the Dallas Cowboys, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Giants. He, are you a black belt?
Like a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh, okay.
Just a fifth degree.
No big.
Yes. I started doing martial arts when I was in high school because, I started out as an overweight kid. Mm-hmm. I used to have a speech impediment, so I was picked on a little bit. And, you know, you used to watch those Bruce Lee movies like, oh, and I thought that I could do that. So I got in Taekwondo then, and I learned then that, you know, martial arts is not about fighting. Mm-hmm. It is real. It's a true art. And it's about discipline, about respect, and I actually love the arts.
Did that bring up your confidence as well? Because a lot of kids go into that and then emerge such a new person after doing
did.
Martial arts.
It did. It emerged me as a new person, but at the same time, it made me feel good about who I was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes kids grow up not loving themselves mm-hmm. because of the way they look, the way they sound, and that's the way I did. But I think getting into a good martial arts class, it didn't matter how I look, how I sound. What matters is how I was as a person. And I think that really blossomed me as a young man.
And you also were a fighter.
I am a fighter. I've had two MMA fights. But a lot of people do not know, when I was at Georgia, I play on Saturdays. We go to church Sunday morning and fight in like Taekwondo tournament Sunday afternoon. This is not something that I just started. The MMA was sort of something I got in late, which I hate that because I absolutely love MMA. I think some of those MMA fighters are some of the toughest guys out there today. And
mentally, they're
it's a tough sport.
To my mind, they're insane. Now, they'll break their hand in the first round and go, "All right, well, that's happened."
I've got another one.
Well, it's a human chess match, and I tell people it is a human chess match. And you know, and I think Scott Coker, and a lot of people don't know, I came out to L.A. when I made what they call they had to take me through a test. And I was out here in L.A. where I went to a gym, and I can't even remember the gym, where I had to do five different fights with five different disciplines before I even got a chance to go to a training camp to fight. And I thank Scott Coker for that. And the reason why I say that, he could have just threw me into that cage and just for the money.
Yeah, name alone.
He wanted to take care of me. And he said, Herschel, if you go to a good camp, you can get a fight. And today I know if I'm not going to a camp, I don't care what I would have done. There's no way I could have stepped into a cage and got into a fight.
All right, so that brings us to Bellator MMA, Dynamite 1, which is happening this Saturday. It's happening in San Jose, and you can watch it at 9 o'clock on Spike. Tell us about this fight.
Well, this is going to be an interesting fight because they're going to have a four-man tournament They got a four-man tournament with Phil Davis, King Mo, Newton, and they got Vesa. And these are guys that are going to have to fight twice, meaning they're going to – two guys are going to fight each other. The winner of that going to end up fighting each other. And then you got
the
Tito,
same night.
The same night. So you're going to have two fights. And also, you got Glory. You're going to have two. You're going to have
that's
a cage.
Kickboxing?
And you're going to have a kickboxing ring. First time ever, I think,
wow.
Here. So Scott Coker, who started in San Jose, now is going back to San Jose, where I think is the sort of like the beginning of MMA in the United States. And he's bringing it back to San Jose, where you're going to have kickboxing, a kickboxing ring, and then you're going to have a cage match where you're going to have guys fighting. And then you got Tito Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be fighting Liam for the world championship. So that's
going
to be an interesting situation.
Wow, I can't imagine that whole tournament thing. Because in the first fight, you would think, okay, I need to minimize the damage.
That's exactly right.
Because I have to fight again in 30 minutes.
And what's weird, when you think about with MMA, when MMA first started, they used to do something sort of like that. So this is sort of a throwback from years ago, which I think is like the founding father of martial arts. That's what guys used to be, and I'm looking forward to it.
Are you still going to fight again?
I love to fight again, and I've told Scott I love to fight again. I've told opponents out there, guys, if somebody want to fight, you know, I don't mind fighting. I'll fight one more. But, you know, one of the reasons I say I do one more is, you know, I've been very blessed, and I think I've had my time. But there's a lot of good young fighters out there. And I think as long as Herschel Walker is out there fighting and doing that, I'm taking away from some of the good guys that got an opportunity to come up. And even though I love to promote the sport, I love to get in and promote the sport because I think I'm one of the finest athletes that they come up. So I think I got a little bit to say because I've done a lot of things.
But you really want to take part in your first love, really, which is the military.
Oh, I love the military.
Tell
us about that. Marine?
I wanted to be a Marine, and I flipped a coin. I flipped a coin whether to go to college or go to the military. It came up for me to go to college.
Wow.
And I flipped a coin of what college to go to. And what was weird is my love.
What was it between?
Love,
you have a terrible, decision process.
Well, no,
it's
you know,
a funny system.
This what was weird. My mother, my mom is a minister, and my mom used to always say, if your heart and mind is pure to Lord Jesus, it really don't matter about your decision. He'll make it right for you. So that's the reason I flipped the coin. And what was strange is when I went to college, you know, I've always, always loved the military. And when I got out of college, I wrote a book on dissociative identity disorder. And I took the proceeds and invested into hospitals and behavior health hospitals. Well, I was bought by a large group, UHS, and they have 40 hospitals around the world. And they dedicated a program we call Patriot Support that I'm a part of, where we go in and we treat soldiers for any type of traumatic stress syndrome, chemical, mental, anything that's going on. Because, you know, I talked about it in my book. And I don't think a lot of people out there that's listening today know what all young men and women go through.
Yeah.
When you take a young man or a young woman off the streets of the United States, they're not brought up on those streets where they have people that literally hate them, that will blow their heads off, that have shooting and blowing up bombs and all that's going on, where we're sending them over to another country, people that literally hate them. And we're sending our young men and women over there. And so when they're coming back, we're forgetting about them.
Yeah.
And I'm telling us right now, let's not forget about those young people. Let's not continue to let our politicians forget about them, because those are the reason this world is great today. It has nothing to do with politics, but it has to do with that we have the best military in the world. And I would put my hat on it. And I say, if you want to talk about true heroes, it's not movie stars. I know those are great people, not athletes. Heroes are those young men and women that's going over saving this country.
Amen.
I don't want to certainly don't want to badmouth any entertainers that go overseas and entertain the troops and stuff, but I don't know that I've ever heard anybody that does it once a month.
Yeah.
You do it, that's a lot.
I do it once a month. Like I said, I treat between 4,000 to 5,000 soldiers a year, and because it's my passion. I think it's my duty. They do so much for me, and they do so much for all of us. And, you know, I happened to be over to Iraq, and I was with a 25-year-old young man. And it was funny because he was laughing, he was smiling, he was in such a great mood. And I was with him for about 5 days, and I happened to leave. It didn't bother me until I left.
Mm.
And what bothered me is I left a young man over there that's going to be there for almost a year, never knowing if he'll ever come back home. And I said, you know, what can I do to help them. You know, what I'm doing, I'm coming to getting all the privileges that he's giving me.
Right.
But there's nothing I'm doing to help him. And what I want to do is, I said, I want to help him. I don't care what people say. I'm going to continue to say the reason this country is what it is today is we have the best military in the world. We need to get our politicians to stop, get off their butt saying the same old, and put money back into the military so we can get the freedoms that we need to get. And they'll get rid. You know, if we get the generals involved in what's going on with ISIL, I guarantee you they won't be doing the crap they do it. We got so many politicians that has never done anything in their lives that want to tell people what to do, but yet they don't do anything.
And get those services for when they do come back. Make sure they are taken care of, that their families are taken care of.
That their families, you know, the VA, the situation that happened with the VA, that was absolutely appalling.
Yeah.
And that for people to do that is totally appalling. And I think something needs to be done for it.
Well, you're an impressive guy. I think I'm going to write you in for president.
I am.
Can we do that?
Yep.
Yeah, well,
that's
nice. I get 2 votes. No, yep. I probably get more because my mom will vote for me.
You've got 3 right there.
Yes.
Herschel Walker has been our guest. Thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
And MMA, Bellator MMA, Dynamite 1 is happening this Saturday at 9 p.m. on Spike. There's the round. There's the tournament that you were talking about. There's Tito Ortiz. There's a kickboxing match and a bunch of stuff going on. So I wish you the best, and thank you for coming in and spending some time.
Thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, when we get back, we're going to give away some tickets for Danny Elfman, Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl. You're going to need to be able to identify clips from Danny Elfman movies, and by Danny Elfman movies, I mean he did the score for them.
Yes.
So we'll play a pretty recognizable clip. You have to know what it is, and then you'll go into the drawing and you'll win those tickets. So 1-800-520-1067. Call down, we'll play next. How great was Herschel Walker?
Well, I think after he walked out, you said, I'm going to marry that guy. It
I
might
did.
Be against his will, but I'm doing it.
And I meant it.
I know you did.
All right. We're going to give away some tickets right now for Danny Elfman Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl. And it's going to be relatively simple. He's done a lot of scores for a lot of movies.
So many.
So we're going to play some clips from the movies. Not his scores, but the clips from the movies. And all you have to do is identify the movie from the clip. And we're calling it Express Your Elf 2. Because we did it yesterday.
Don't go for a second best, baby. Put your love.
He didn't put a lot of work in the intro,
nope.
But that's all right. I just want, as a side note, really quick, there's a radio station in Canada that is just stealing from us every single day.
Yeah.
And I never say that because I hate it when DJs say that. But we did Foo or Poo when we did a contest for the Foo Fighters. And the next day they did The Who or Poo. What are the chances they came up with that on their own? So let's hear him. I want to hear him take Express Your Elf.
Sure.
Do that.
Do it,
and
Canada.
Then you can talk to me, but not until then. Jennifer in Paris. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to
Express Your Elf 2.
All right, we're going to play a clip from the movie, and you just have to identify what it is. You ready?
I got to hope
all,
so.
All of these movies, Danny Elfman did the music for.
Those are your hands. Hold me.
I can't.
Oh, my God, that clip is really terrible.
I can't hear it. I think that was sort of unfair because it was – I couldn't understand
it. I think she said, your hands.
That's it. That's your clue. Oh, my God, your hands.
Oh, my God, your hands. What would be weird about the hands?
Come on,
Jennifer.
What's happening?
Wow, she's –
Is that a dog?
Accelerating. What happened?
Corpse Bride?
I'm sorry, it's Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, God, that clip was terrible.
I know, but we tried to help.
I know.
All right.
I'm sorry, Jennifer.
Sorry, thank you for calling. Let's go to Gabriel in Los Angeles. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi.
Welcome to
Express Your Elf 2.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Here's your movie clip.
Let's face it, you want somebody out of the house, I want to get somebody out of your house. Come.
Whoa, sandworms. You hate them, right? I hate them myself. Come on, kids. What do I have to do to strike a deal with you two, huh?
All right. What movie is that?
Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice it is. Congratulations. You got tickets.
Yeah.
Well done. Hold on. He was saying something, wasn't he? Rick in Westchester. Hi.
Hootie Hoo.
Hootie Hoo is to you as well. We are doing Express Your Elves 2. All right, here you go. This is your movie.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
All right, what's that movie?
Oh, that's Batman.
That is Batman.
Are you okay? Are you experiencing thunder right now, Rick?
No.
Okay.
Just in my pants.
Well played. Well played. Thank you for the call.
Wait, keep him on hold. He won.
I did.
Okay.
I did. Take it easy.
I'm concerned about Rick. He's now my favorite.
Kenny in La Puente. Hi.
What's good? Express your
elves too. That's what's good. All right, you ready for your movie clip?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Waterfall is most important. Mixes the chocolate, turns it out, makes it light and frothy.
All right, what movie is that?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That is correct.
Well done, Kenny.
Well done. You got tickets.
Yes.
Congratulations. George in Anaheim. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. What game is it? Express your
elves too. He asked what game is it. Well done. All right, you ready for your movie? Here you go.
We underestimate this human.
The hell are they?
Your story is spreading through the villages. They all want to see this human who defies the apes.
Full of division! Stay on the call! Come on!
Get me the spaceman.
Well, you put apes in the actual clip! I hope you get it wrong.
It was hard to hear, but something about an ape, King Kong?
Oh, George.
It was Planet of the Apes. I was kidding when I said, I hope you got it wrong. Sorry.
Sorry, George.
That sort of hurt. Okay, it's a movie that includes apes, but Danny Elfman did the music. That's the key that we're trying to give you. All right, we have three winners. Let's move on to Karen in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to Express Your Elves 2. Here you go. Here's your movie.
Then you're crazy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
Oh, I love it. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Indeed.
Sort of a given. All right, that was a little easier. Congratulations.
Don't take away from Karen.
Karen did a good job.
Good job, Karen.
I was happy with Karen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mark in Bell Gardens. Hi there, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to Express Your Elves 2. All right, here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
And since I am dead, I can take off my head to recite Shakespearean quotations. No animal nor man can scream like I can with the fury of my recitations.
All right, what movie is that?
Oh, that's the hardest one, man. Nightmare Before Christmas?
That's the one that
well
they're going to be performing
Mark.
That you're going to see, Mark. Congratulations, you win.
Awesome, thanks.
Well done. 1, 2, 3. No, that's it. We have 5.
One,
that's
2, 3, 4, 5.
That's
5.
That's 5.
That's 5.
We're out.
5.
Thank you for playing. Express Your Elves 2. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to check in with Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. Plus, we have Harley Morenstein coming to the studio from Epic Meal Time. Guy would not be alive if it weren't for bacon.
Right.
And
he runs on meat.
He runs on meat. That's right. Ralph's out today. He will be back tomorrow. Allie McKay is in with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know how a lot of singers are heading to Vegas, setting up shop, doing tons of shows at hotels?
I think not having to travel would be huge
amazing,
for performers.
Right? Yeah. So you've got Britney Spears, J-Lo, Mariah Carey. They're all doing it. Well, add someone else to the list. Somebody has just booked 20 shows at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in April, May, September, and October.
Ariana Grande?
Nope, it is not, but very good guess. it's somebody who will probably be filling in the dates when Britney Spears takes some time off because it's the same theater. This was a bit of a shock for me. Haven't heard much from this guy in a pretty long time.
Well, that's weird, then.
I'm going to give you a hint.
Hammer.
Nope. Haven't given you the hint yet,
Okay. Sorry, I'll wait.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for? I'm dancing on the ceiling. Oh, for the love of God.
Really?
Lionel Richie, Kevin.
Thank you, Chip.
No,
oh,
I
for the
know
love
who
of God.
Was.
Really?
Yes, how does Lionel Richie get that kind of deal?
That's what I'm saying. But I'm also saying this. Who wants to go to Vegas to see Lionel Richie? Because I'm in! No.
That I'm not responding to.
Okay. I think that sounds pretty darn fun.
Yeah, no.
But I'm a different kind of gal. Hey, I don't know if you guys have Amazon Prime Instant Video. But if you get, you know, Amazon Prime, $99 a year, you get free shipping, all that stuff. But you also get the free video. I got Amazon Prime for one reason only, okay. To watch the show Transparent,
right.
Jeffrey Tambor's show, when it came out. Amazing.
And totally worth it, right?
Totally worth it. Yeah. But now it's like Amazon's like, how do we repay her for her purchase?
You think that they're saying that about
they're
you specifically?
They're saying it, yeah, because now all 94 episodes of Sex and the City are available on Amazon Prime. How lucky am I? Chip, you're shaking your head. Kevin, you're barfing.
Well,
no? You don't support it?
I understand why you don't have friends.
How dare you? Could I add this? Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
Right?
Love that show.
And Entourage.
All right.
Have just been added to Amazon Prime Instant Video. You guys, something happened on one of my favorite shows that made it one of my most favorite episodes of my favorite show. That show being Jeopardy. You know, at the end, when you have to risk it all or risk very little, but you put the answer in your own writing at the bottom.
Right.
Who is whatever. Well, this woman, her name is Talia Lavin. She didn't know the answer, but her answer may just crack you up.
This song from a 1999 animated film about censorship had a word censored from its Oscar performance. 30 seconds, players, good luck. You came up with this as your response for final. Let's see. What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson? P.S. Hi, Mom. Nope. Sorry.
She made Alex Trebek say Turd Ferguson.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
That's pretty strong.
If people out there don't know who Turd Ferguson is, it's Norm MacDonald's character as Burt Reynolds, but he would go as Turd Ferguson. And he was like the arch nemesis of Alex Trebek on those SNL skits. It is so good.
I don't watch Jeopardy a lot because I already feel dumb.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I feel like they don't have that good a sense of humor.
Yeah.
These people that are contested. That was great.
She made Alex Trebek say Turd Ferguson.
That's great.
Oh, so good.
Well played.
All of these people were born on today, September the 17th. Actor Malik Yoba, he is 48. NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson, 40. Dougie Fresh, you're on, 49. And Kyle Chandler is 50. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 11 minutes after 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock on Thursdays, we always check in with the great Jim Rome. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Allie. Good morning. Sanchez. Don't talk to me.
No, he left. Leave. We kicked him out.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Like we
good.
Should have. All right, talking sports. Let's talk about the NFL, and let's talk about the Seattle game that went into overtime when they handed Marshawn Lynch the ball. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, too little too late, right? Where was that in the Super Bowl?
Right.
But the best part about that was Marshawn's mom getting off after the fact. Don't know if you guys saw it, but Marshawn likes to say he's all about that action, boss, and apparently so is his mother, because she went on Facebook and she trucked the offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel. She said, quote, "He should have been fired. Yeah, I said it, fired. He is the worst play caller ever. The only reason he called that dumb as is A-Z-Z, that dumbass play yesterday, is to be able to justify the 1 yard that wasn't called in the Super Bowl." End of quote. I don't know where you guys come out on this. Normally, I don't want to see athletes' family members on social media, but that is Mama Lynch coming in hot.
I am
loved
digging
it.
Mama Lynch.
I loved it.
I'm thinking of it from his standpoint, though. As a player, I would be horrified if my mom was making comments.
I can see that, but his mom is right. So I
trust me, he's not horrified
talk.
By anything, and I guarantee he's proud of her.
Absolutely.
He's got to be like, mom's spitting knowledge.
Yep.
I love that he won't talk and moms won't stop.
Yeah.
And my only beef with her is that she didn't drop a post on Pete Carroll's dumb ass onside kick.
Right.
Yeah,
what
why,
was that?
Okay, why did that happen? I didn't watch enough to find out, but I was like, I don't even understand why they're doing an onside kick right now.
Because he wanted to prove that he's the smartest guy in the room and that it was not his fault that they lost that Super Bowl. I mean, Pete, you got a pretty good team here. Maybe you don't want to outthink yourself and coach them out of any more wins. There is no reason for that. That was a bad call that blew up in his face.
Some people, it might have been Marshawn Lynch's mom, but I can't remember who said it, but some people were insinuating that they gave it to Marshawn and then didn't block for him so well, so it would get stopped, so everybody would put that behind
him. So they'd be
him.
Like, see?
That's,
yeah, works then,
that's not possible, right?
I love a good conspiracy theory, but that's not what that is. That's just a bad take. A bad take. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Peyton Manning. A lot of talk post the weekend about how Peyton Manning can't throw the ball. I feel like we've heard that before. Is it worse?
This is not the first time this has come up, and this guy does not look right. And the reason for that is he's not right. I mean, he looks like a 39-year-old cat who's had four neck surgeries and can't feel his own fingers. And he was chucking wobbly ducks all over the yard last week. And like you said, the same exact thing that we saw at the end of last year and have seen for the last couple of years. You know, the take was he's got 8 months to recover. He'll be fine, but he's not. And I think, guys, even he knows that, which is why he ran a little misdirection with the media this week, calling the media out for their injuries.
Let me start with Cliff. I mean, just the carpal tunnel from all the texting of his sources, T-Mac, you know, the laryngitis ripping me all week, you know, and the rash that he has that's unidentified. Who else? Lindsey Jones, you know, the bunions from all the travel to the West Coast.
Good one, noodle arm. The more things change, the more they stay exactly the same, and this dude has the look of a shot fighter.
Is it possible that the offensive setup that they have and the passes that they throw, which are normally pretty short, they can work around that?
No.
No.
But a reminder, they did win.
Yeah, they did win. It'd be so much worse had they not won. But look, let's not get this twisted. This guy, the biggest strength he has right now is his brain, but you cannot Jedi mind trick your way to a Super Bowl. I mean, he's not right. He's not right, and what he's lost is not coming back. So let's not get that twisted.
So they play tonight. The Denver Broncos play tonight against the
Chiefs.
How'd
you guys like that produced element?
It was pretty sweet.
Jim, you are a gift from God. A
pretty
gem.
Pretty hot, right, Allie?
A gem of
pretty
all
hot, right?
So
there's
hot.
More where that came from, Allie.
Wow.
That was ugly just for a second. Broncos, Chiefs. Chiefs are the real deal, right?
They might be. They're going to pose some problems. They're going to pose some problems for him tonight. The funny thing about the Chiefs is, and this, they've got this great streak going right now, where a wide receiver has not caught a touchdown pass in 17 games. I mean, that'd be like in the NBA, winning the NBA championship without ever shooting a three, because this is the way the NFL works right now. They open it up. They chuck it around. These guys cannot find a wide receiver in the end zone, so that's something to look for tonight. Will they keep that streak alive?
And will they? Who do you think will win that game, Denver or Kansas City? Kansas City?
I'm going to take Kansas City.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking Kansas City.
Yep. All right. Fantastic. Jim, thank
you.
You
can't crack back on the old man and not take Kansas City, right?
I was like, no, right. I'm going to say Peyton Manning's going to do it tonight. Well, that's weird.
Well, I mean, they have other weapons, right? They can run it.
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. No is the answer.
What
good
Allie said.
Jim, thanks for your time. We always appreciate it. Jim has Jim Rome on Showtime, and also he's daily on The Beast from 9 to noon. On AM 980. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it.
And every Thursday on KROQ. Bye,
that's
guys.
Correct. Thank you. Let's welcome Harley Morenstein to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yay! Thank you so much for having me again.
Very excited. Of course, you know him from Epic Mealtime, amongst many other things. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find your video of Lambeau Field, and I couldn't find it. Why is that?
Oh, you know what? That wasn't my video. Oh. That was Johnsonville Sausages. They brought me down. They made a 360.
They brought you down?
This is the...
explain to people Lambeau Field. What happened there?
Well, this is the type of life I have.
Okay.
Someone makes a 120-yard sausage, Johnsonville, which is the size of a football field in its end zones. And they're like, we need to bring Harley from Epic Mealtime to come down here.
Nice.
He's got to see this and he's got to try this.
You're the go-to sausage guy.
Wait, no. Don't say that. Don't make me that.
I
don't want to be that.
You are the go-to
You are that.
Yeah, but I'm
now,
the go-to
when you show
man.
Up, are you like the celebrity... Host?
Kind of. I mean, like, you know, I'm not, it's Lambeau. I mean, it's Green Bay, so I'm not like a Packer or anything, you know? People are like, are you the guy? I'm like, I'm the guy. I'm like, high five, man, and a selfie. That's it. You know, most people don't know me, but they're like, sausage guy?
You're the face of meat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many people would you guess, and I know this is difficult, but how many people would you guess recognize you, but they have no idea where from?
So I am 6'6", 270 pounds. So sometimes someone looks at me weirdly, and I'm like, they could be looking at me because maybe they've seen Epic Mealtime and they don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm just like a big, gigantic, weird-looking man. You know?
Just like, that guy's weird.
Yeah, I have like long hair, a huge beard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I got like a kind of like a goofy saunter while I walk. And sometimes I'm just like, maybe he's just looking at me because I'm like a guy... Like, I'm a people watcher.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch me. I would look at me and be like, get a load of this guy.
What's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
See, I saw him and I instantly thought he could build me a house.
No, I can't.
But
can.
Let me think.
I'll eat your sausages.
What?
that's what I could do for you.
Interesting. I'm listening.
Now, Harley is here because we're talking about the Streamy Awards, which are tonight on VH1.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed about 5 minutes ago to find out that you already lost.
Who told you that? No, we won the food category.
I'm very excited to hear that you won the food category.
No, we won the Streamy for food this year and last year. Wait, am I wrong? Where did you get that?
I would think that you would know more than me. I got that from Dave.
I thought we won food, but well, you know
weren't
what?
You there?
I'm like, am I surrounded by yes men? And I'm like, did we win the Streamy? And everyone's like, yeah, you won. You won. I'm like, oh, good.
But now I'm confused.
This
okay,
is taking a lot of turns.
So Dave said,
yeah.
I'm just going to throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
That part of the Streamy, sort of like the Emmys, where they do some of the stuff before
pre-awards.
Yeah. Right. So he said that happened and you lost. So
no, we did that and we won.
Okay.
So yeah,
but
Dave's
he didn't
good.
Even see Shawshank Redemption.
No,
He's got a lot of holes in his information.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe
everything
he
says is moot.
But I'm like, I have my phone right here and
maybe
I want to grab it so badly. I'm touching it.
Okay, so you weren't.
Let's pretend that we didn't win for a second.
Okay.
That's fine. You know, we do it for the art. We don't do it for the awards. It's cool. Like, I want to inspire people to go out there and have fun, make their own YouTube channel, change their life up a little bit.
Right.
And is it worth it just to be nominated? Isn't that the real prize?
Nominated, not. There's great food channels out there that aren't nominated. However, let's say we won.
Okay.
Boop.
Which other food channel would be more deserving?
Amen.
I mean, we come out with two food videos every single week for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Didn't skip a beat this past year. We work with huge brands. We have a fun time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course we won.
Of course.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you're now second-guessing what happened.
I am going there tonight to present.
Right.
Or are you?
I am.
That's a good question.
Where am I?
Maybe you are, maybe you're not. This is the most confusing thing that's ever happened. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back with Harley. Uh-huh. And I assume then we'll have any accurate information.
Why would you?
It's a bad assumption, but we're going to give it a try. All right. Congratulations to Harley from Epic Mealtime for winning the Streamy.
Woo! That's right. We won. Yeah, there was some misinformation. It's kind of sad that I got caught up in that. And I was like, someone lied to me and told me I won when I didn't win.
It got dark.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was very strange.
But you weren't there, but you sent an acceptance video in case.
Yes, we did send it in.
And then we went through a period where he was doubting, like, oh, no, they played the acceptance video and I didn't win. Now I'm an a-hole.
Yeah. And then someone here said it was kind of like Zoolander. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've become a model idiot. Yeah. But there are the Streamies tonight.
Yes,
and
VH1.
And what's cool is YouTube is opening up their own Snapchat, which is that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And they're giving me the YouTube Snapchat for leading up to the Streamies, so I'm going to get to snap on that and stuff.
Oh, so you're going to be in charge of the whole thing? The Snapchat account?
And then I pass it off to another creator. I don't know who it is, but there's five of us.
Okay.
And I'm going to lead up to the Streamies and pass it on. I thought it would be interesting to maybe like promote my Twitter on the YouTube Snapchat because it'll
like
be
it.
Like three
it's like
levels
an inception.
Of like, yeah, when does this stop? Everything is evolving so much and happening so fast. It's making my job very difficult.
Now, what hours are you in charge of Snapchat?
I think I'm going to be doing like 4 to 6.
4 to 6.
I believe in the stream is start at 6, and they're going to be on TV on VH1.
Right.
And it should be cool. I'm going to be presenting for the Best Prank Channel.
Best Prank. Okay.
Yeah, I am a little hurt because food was announced on Monday at a special dinner event.
Mm-hmm. The pre-Streamy.
Yeah, the pre-Streamy. Why are you laughing at that?
You know she can't say. Go ahead.
So the at the pre-Streamy Monday, which was very eventful. Someone broke their foot.
Oh no!
Fantastic. Yeah, one of the hosts like slid down a fire pole, broke her foot. Epic Mealtime won for food. Yeah,
right.
Thank you.
Very exciting. Obviously, there was any doubt.
Yeah, never a doubt for a second. And they announced food there, and I was like, oh, I wish food was announced on Thursday on television, but it'll just have to suffice with a tweet and then self-doubt a couple days later. But so the Streamies tonight, it should be cool. You know, it's always a blend.
Who are nominated from the prank channels? Do you remember?
Roman Atwood. I'm going to say, I think Prank vs. Prank and there was Magic of Rahat, and there's someone else. I'm forgetting them. I'm sorry.
You know I love you. You know I love you, right?
I love you too.
You know very little more than me, and yes. I don't think that's good.
No.
Because I'm not supposed to know that.
Yeah, but I'm not and supposed yet, to know. I'm only supposed to know that in like 5 hours.
Oh, you have
5 hours?
And you have research.
Yeah. I have like all day. Like, I'm good. There's a dress rehearsal today. Like, I don't even know what I'm wearing. You know?
I wouldn't expect that you would, though. If you had an outfit picked out, I would just question everything in my life because you're not that guy.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I brought two pairs of dress shoes. I know one of them doesn't fit, but I just scooped them both into my suitcase. I'm like, one of these fits. I know that. One of them doesn't, but it's coming.
Why are you keeping shoes that don't fit?
That's a good question.
One, I don't know. My feet might get skinnier. I don't know.
It's a good point.
We'll see. I don't know. What if I have a son? And he's big.
It's a great, great point. Right. I take it back.
And then in 20 years, he's going to need shoes.
Yeah, daddy kept a pair of shoes for you. These were daddy's shoes and my daddy's shoes.
Are you the last second Packer that just goes, oh, I don't know. I'm going and I don't know what shoes fit.
Yeah,
clothes, everything.
I'm pretty good at it, though.
You're good at it.
Yeah, huh. I'm just.
So you don't pack enough for like a week to make sure you're covered.
I got here and I was like, oh, I got to go buy a belt. That's what happened. I got here. I'm like, I need a belt now. That's the type of guy.
A, that's sad. And yeah. B, that's me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm so down with it. I was like, okay, I need to get a cab and go to the mall because I need to get a belt or I have, you know, one shoe. I don't know. It's
cabbing
a mess.
To the mall for a belt. It sounds like the first line of a country song.
Actually, that's good. That's true. That actually was in Vegas. I don't know why I didn't mention that, but I was in Vegas and I needed a belt. So then I had
yeah,
to cab.
But you came with a belt. You just ended up losing it somewhere in Vegas.
I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with no. I'm going to say I forgot it just because people know what I'm like in Vegas, and that's not good.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to be doing the Snapchat. You're going to be presenting.
Yep. Yep.
Anything else that you're going to be doing on the show?
Well, it's always interesting because the Streamies does this blend of digital and traditional, whereas like a couple years ago it was like Soulja Boy, Vanilla Ice, and, you know, Epic Mealtime. So this year I'm kind of excited to see what the crowd is going to be, what the audience is, who the presenters are, especially now that this time it's the first time it's on television, which is interesting, you know, like digital awards on TV. And it's
I feel like maybe it's a year or two too late almost.
I agree.
Don't you feel
I agree with you.
It should have already been on?
Yeah, I agree with you. But then again, like, you know, what's the Streamy?
Well, no one knows.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
What does the Streamy look like? You won one.
I have one. It's it looks like, imagine like about 15 streamers.
Okay.
And you gather them all on like a little circle.
Right.
And you blew wind up it so that they were waving.
Uh-huh.
And then you like casted that in silver. That's what a Streamy looks like.
Are you making that up because you don't know?
Oh, no. I swear to God, that's what it looks like. Actually, this is an award. It's an award. I have it. It's at my home.
Okay.
I look at it.
You look at it all the time?
I won this. And you know what? And what also freaked me out when you said that we didn't win, I was like, oh, no. I already took that one and threw it out the window to make space for the new one. And then I was like, oh, my God. I'm going to have to go through my trash and pull the Streamy out.
How little space do you have?
It's a very small mantle.
I have a very small trophy case because I wanted it to look full.
Right.
So I didn't leave room for future trophies. So there's like
so when one comes in, one has to go.
Yeah, there's like the participation West Park Football 1993 trophy, and then there's the Streamy. And I'm not going to disrespect West Park Football, so I threw the other Streamy to make room for the new one.
You will never be on Hoarders.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Lambeau Field for a second because you were there this past Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was interested in your take on the city, Green Bay, which I don't know that I've ever visited.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I find it was very Canadian of me to be at Lambeau Field on football season,
right,
when the Packers were in Chicago.
So when I read the whole thing about the 120-yard sausage and all that, and I thought, well, of course that's a tailgate thing.
Yeah, no.
Before you go into the game.
No, there would have been no room for the tailgate and the sausage to happen at the same time.
Wow.
Like, if the tailgating for a regular Packers game and that sausage happened at the same time, there would be a shift in the time-space continuum because
I can
they can't
see
occupy the same space at the same time.
What is Lambeau like when it's not...
So I was shocked. You know, everyone's like, what are you going to do in Green Bay? I'm like, they have a football team, bro. It's a real city. And I got there, and it's like, the city is Lambeau Field when the Packers are there.
Okay, so the Packers are gone.
So it was empty. It was so empty.
Not just the stadium, but...
No, I even said, can you take me downtown? It was 9 p.m. on a Saturday night, and I wanted to get something to eat. And he's like, well, we got two restaurants open. And I got there, and it was, like, empty.
Wow.
And Saturday night at 9.
I know, and I was even sitting in the restaurant. I looked up, so I'm like, oh, my God, I see two people taking a selfie outside. I'm like, there are people here. There are.
But then when you look back, they were gone?
Yeah, they were gone. They were gone. And then we left, and there was a couple arguing about how one of the other ones said she was going to stop smoking cigarettes. And I'm like, oh, there are real people here with real arguments and problems. I'm like, so sure. I didn't know that. And then sure enough, the next day, everyone comes out to Lambeau Field. You know, there's like 1,000 people that wanted to see this 120-yard sausage. Well, I ate some of it.
Right. How much did you eat, would you guess? Like 10, 12 feet?
Four and a half feet. Yeah, I was eating a bunch waiting for them to cook it. So I kind of was, you know, it was on a pretzel bun. So I was pretty stoked about that. And
I don't understand how you are not 600 pounds.
Because he's 9'8".
Yeah. I know. So even no, so.
Yeah.
Even so.
But anyway, you see under my shirt, it's not even good.
I'd rather not.
I mean, I've got
time.
Big
hairy gut.
Yeah. Oh, no? Okay, sorry. That got weird.
I mean, it wouldn't take long if that's what you're saying.
You know what I was worried about? I was worried about a Lambeau Field, like, just being Canadian, and, like, there was, like, a big sausage. I kept calling it a bratwurst, you know, the bratwurst.
Right.
And then I went up to someone, I was like, what do I put on it? Like, I don't want to be a weirdo and do the wrong thing.
Can't put ketchup.
Well, that's it. I wasn't going to do that. I'm
but
sorry,
this is your world. You're in food.
But
dude.
I didn't want
you're
to
in
offend.
The food category.
Yeah, but I didn't want to offend. You know, at the football game. Mm-hmm. And so
there
was
wasn't a football game. But go
you're
ahead.
Right. You're right. I'm not. I didn't want to offend where the football games occur. I went with straight yellow mustard, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got a tour of Lambeau Field. What?
Like a French's mustard? Just plain old.
I don't remember.
I don't feel like that matters.
I need to know.
Okay. No, they're not paying me, so I wouldn't even say it if it was
right.
You know?
Wow.
So you got a tour?
Wow.
Tour of Lambeau Field.
Hey, I'm Streamies winner 2015. Like, well, I'm not just going to throw out food out there. Like, yeah, you're right. It was a pre-streaming win.
So you got to tour Lambeau Field,
and it was so crazy. It was so clean in there. And then I got the whole history of how, like, you know, the people own the stadium mm-hmm. and stuff. So the money goes back into it. And it was like, I've never seen such a big place be so clean at the same time.
Really?
My body isn't even that clean because it's so big. You know, it takes me like 20 minutes to soak my gigantic body. And they managed to soak up all of Lambeau. What am I saying?
I'm not positive right now. But
let's move. Anyways, I want to stream you this year.
Yeah. I feel like we need some type of
so you're in the shower
musical accompaniment. So you're in the shower.
Let's open up my hairy butt, my hairy gut. Yeah. That's a hairy butt.
You did.
Both
you
of
did.
Them.
Yeah. That, just take the music off.
Kill the mood.
I'm out.
Yeah, but I want to stream you though this year.
Pre-streaming.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Harley, we always love having you in. We always appreciate your time when you come in.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's the 5th annual Streamy Awards. It's tonight at 10 o'clock on VH1. And Harley will take over their Snapchat as well.
Yeah, you can follow YouTube on Snapchat and Harley Plays on Snapchat and Instagram and everything.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the Streamy.
Thank you.
We'll see
you soon. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55. Harley, really one of my favorite people of all time.
So far you've wanted to marry Herschel Walker.
Uh-huh.
And you want to be his best friend.
Yeah. I think that's...
It's been a pretty good day.
It's pretty accurate, yeah.
Right?
Ralph is out only today. He'll be back tomorrow. And Allie is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Well, Bean is not here, and it's sad that he is not here to experience this news firsthand.
Okay.
You know how much he loves 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Cannot get enough. I believe, Chip, when you went in to visit him, one of the first places you drove by.
Yep. Took me up at the airport, went to Denny's, then 7-Eleven.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis. Yeah. And I think this is why...
Okay.
They're doing this. 7-Eleven is now joining the new wave of businesses that will deliver anything you want right to your door. They don't want him coming in anymore.
That's what it
they're
is.
They're like, just stay home. We'll bring it to you.
We'll they bring whatever you want.
Yeah. They're offering 5 new packages. This is when I thought, all right. Date night. What does that package feature? Ice cream, chocolate, Red Bull, gum, and condoms.
Okay.
Well done. A hangover pack, which has Gatorade, acetaminophen, pepperoni pizza, and a sandwich. Well done, 7-Eleven.
That sounds pretty good.
They also have the game day pack, a sniffles pack, and an endurance pack. All right. I don't know what that means because they didn't include what comes with it, but I'm going to use my imagination. The other day, Ralph brought up a very interesting story about Elton John receiving a phone call from Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, that seemed odd at the time because Vladimir Putin is so hateful toward anything gay. Anything. Like, he's over the top crazy about it.
Yeah, Russia doesn't have a great track record.
No.
Absolutely. So we were thinking, wow, the fact that he reached out to Elton John, they talked about things, they even said they're going to meet in person and discuss some issues. We were like, that's pretty amazing. Wow. Well, fast forward. It looks like Elton John got punked. He was actually talking to a popular Russian comedian and prankster known as Vovan. Vovan's sidekick pretended to be Putin's press secretary, made the call to Elton, sounded legit. Then Vovan picked up the phone and pretended to be Putin.
Womp, womp, womp.
I mean, why would that happen? Why would anyone ever let that happen? Right, Kevin?
Why would
a prank phone call get that far?
Anybody that would do that
is
a bad, bad person.
Right?
That's all I know, yeah.
Asshole. Indeed. I can't imagine anyone that would do something
all right, take
like
it easy.
That.
Here's what I will say, though.
Yeah.
Elton John believed it,
mm-hmm.
which means Elton John's life is crazy.
That Putin would just be calling
yes.
him, right?
He's like, I guess so. That makes sense to me because he must get calls from people every day.
Right? Like Elton John's husband was like, hey, Putin's online too.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, put him through.
Let me get out of my bathtub of champagne. I'm not sure what accent that was.
I'm not either.
Probably not a good Elton John. The Rolling Stones, they're really old.
Yeah, they've been really old for a really long time.
For a really long time. That's why this was shocking to me. They are just finishing up their South American tour in early 2016, and then they're going to take a break.
Okay.
Oh, no. They're going back into the studio. As soon as they're done with this tour, they're going back into the studio. Their last studio effort was 2005's A Bigger Bang, but now they're going back in the studio because we need new Rolling Stones.
We need
and
new.
Then they need to tour again.
Maybe they just forgot how to do anything else. So when they go off the road, they go, well, I don't know. I guess we go in the studio.
I think there are certain people that just don't know how to relax, don't know how to not do anything. I'm not that person. I'm very good at sitting on my couch.
I find it odd, though, that anybody would want new Rolling Stones
music. Oh, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I think you're very wrong.
That's possible.
Hey, what are you doing Halloween?
Meeting at our neighbor's house, which we've done every year for, I don't know, 15 years.
Excellent. Yeah. Maybe a lot of people going to see Danny Elfman.
Going to see Danny Elfman.
Do Nightmare Before Christmas at the Hollywood Bowl.
Trying to work out both. I'm trying to go early and get down to Hollywood
Bowl. I don't
blame
you. Well, if I can, I am hopping a flight to New Jersey like I do on Halloween. But for this reason, do you remember R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet?
Oh, do I remember?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
It takes you through a whole story of intrigue, deceit, affairs, cheating. Here's a little snippet in case you haven't.
Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, then they go through this thing arguing, fussing, and time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, and then Sylvester calls home.
Oh, that's magic.
It's magic.
Yeah.
But imagine that magic set to a orchestra of 20 people, the first 12 chapters, note for note, in their entirety.
Yay!
With an orchestra. That is happening at a place called the Strand Theater in Asbury Park. That is happening on Halloween night in New Jersey.
That's pretty good.
Trapped in the closet to an orchestra.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's not going to get me into New Jersey, but it's pretty good.
Well, they might try it in New Jersey, see that it's a hit. And this is just the first 12 chapters, Kevin.
Yeah.
There's so many
more
chapters.
I don't remember how many there were. Were there like
847.
Oh, that's so good.
It's a lot of chapters. All right, all these stars were born on today, September the 17th. Actor Kyle Chandler, he is turning 50. Dougie Fresh, you're on. He is 49. Malik Yoba, 48. And NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson is turning 40. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. Don't forget to listen to the Furious Five at 9 to win your entry to the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Silver Sun Pickups are playing this coming Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week from today, Death Cab for Cutie. Next Thursday is going to be there. You can win your way in with both performances. You can check out krock.com. There's a contest page, and also follow K-Rock on Instagram, and you could win your way into both. Pretty
cool. Quite the week.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Ralph is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Allie is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
All right, you guys. I was wondering why Ryan Adams was trending on Twitter. I now know. You know how he went into the studio? He was going to be doing a whole cover album of Taylor Swift's 1989.
Right.
It's done, and it's ready to be released.
Mm-hmm.
September 21st, you can download that whole album. But right now, the whole song, Bad Blood, is available.
No.
No?
Nope.
You sure?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Absolutely sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a lot of people waiting for that. I can guarantee Bean has it circled on his calendar. Dave Sanchez in the other room, the King of Mexico, done.
Yeah.
It's concerning, right?
Yeah, very much so. Not for me.
What do you think the chances are that that will be like the most streamed song on all of Beats?
It probably will be this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bad Blood.
What did you say?
Out now.
21st Monday?
Yes, but Bad Blood is out now.
Oh,
so
I see. Okay.
We'll see. All right, a little palate cleanser, if you will. I don't know if you watch Jeopardy, but I love Jeopardy.
I don't need more things to tell me how stupid I am.
Well, here's why I love Jeopardy. Because at the end, when you have to write in the answer, sometimes when you don't know the answer, you can write like, hey, Mom, or Bill,
right.
I'll be home for dinner. Just something cute, fun, whatever. Not this woman. This woman's name is Talia Lavin. And she is now my favorite human being in the world.
She's
she
my
did
hero.
Not have the answer, but we're going to play for you the question and then what she wrote in. Wait for the genius.
This song from a 1999 animated film about censorship had a word censored from its Oscar performance. 30 seconds, players, good luck. You came up with this as your response for final. Let's see. What is the love ballad of Turd Ferguson? P.S. Hi, Mom. Nope. Sorry.
Nope. Sorry. And if you don't know who Turd Ferguson is, it was a classic SNL sketch when they would do Celebrity Jeopardy, and it was Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds with the pseudonym of Turd Ferguson, and it's some of the funniest stuff you've ever seen. But she wrote that in just to make Alex Trebek say Turd Ferguson.
That's pretty awesome.
Hero, right?
It's hero, yeah.
And you brought up a good point that most people wouldn't think to do something like that. And Chip said, Allie and I would.
Yeah.
And you said, well, you're not normal.
No, I was saying that most girls wouldn't because mm-hmm. it takes sort of an a-hole edge to do that.
Okay.
Right? So I was saying most of the time that's a guy. But she nailed it, and both of you would have done the same.
Absolutely.
And that is thumbs up.
I'm proud of it. Chip, we're good people.
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Okay. All right, moving along. We have plans, you guys, in April. We are hitting the road. We are going to Vegas. Why?
Why?
Because Lionel Richie has 20 shows planned at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino, April, May, September, and October. Lionel Richie!
Yeah, it's
guys,
on. I don't.
Are you?
No.
I don't. I can't possibly care.
Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
Come on. For the story.
No.
We went to see Lionel Richie.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Hello?
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
Is there still drinking?
Yes.
Is there still gambling?
Absolutely.
Not going to Lionel Richie.
Oh.
That's it.
I thought you were in.
I've ruled. Nope.
Okay. Nope. All right. How about this then? You may be saying to yourself, how can I take a cruise with the new kids on the block? You can.
Wow.
Donnie, Joey, Danny, Jordan, and Jonathan are back for season 2 of Rock This Boat, New Kids on the Block. That's on Pop Network. Yes, I said season 2.
You said season 2.
There is a first season of this show. I was not aware. Which is shocking because I like to stay hip to my New Kids on the Block trivia. But that sets sail next month from Miami to the Bahamas. Cameras place inside each band member's cabin as well as backstage to capture their real interactions, banter, and private moments with their, quote, blockheads. Those are...
That's what they call their fans?
New Kids on the Block fans. Yeah.
Blockheads?
I don't know if I like it. All right.
Season 2?
Season 2. Pop Network. All right, someone got mad at me and said I should have said spoiler alert before talking about the season finale of Game of Thrones from June. You, sir, can shut right up. But we all know that Jon Snow, well, he died. Or did he? There have been a ton of pictures going around. He's been seen where they're shooting the new season. What's happening? Is he going to come back from the dead? Who knows? But Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, recently slipped up in an interview saying that he was still under contract to the show and, quote, the hit will always be part of my life for a while.
For a while.
A while. What?
He's coming back.
He's got to.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, you guys.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry about that. Also, spoiler alert, but not really. Jenna Coleman, she plays Doctor Who's companion Clara on the show. She is leaving mid-season.
Why?
What?
What happened?
Why? I don't know. But the BBC is reporting that Jenna will make her last appearance before the Christmas special, which sees the return of Alex Kingston as Riversong. A lot of people are kind of okay with Clara leaving.
Oh, really? They don't like her?
I don't feel her character was written really well.
Okay.
But that's just me. Chip shaking her head.
She doesn't watch Doctor Who.
Yes, I do. How dare you?
What do you think? Clara, not the
best.
Yeah,
it's not the
character.
Best. Yeah.
See you later, Clara. Yep. Beat it. Yeah. I don't know if I'd say beat it, Chip. Oh, wait. That was me.
Yeah.
Okay, very good stuff. And we discussed earlier this morning a new Scrooge. It's a new take on the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. A new Scrooge is in the works. Who will be the Scrooge to visit his past, present, and future? Kevin, do you remember your
Kanye
guess?
Kanye West.
No.
Who would play a better Scrooge than him?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I don't actually remember.
You don't? I knew you wouldn't. God
honestly,
bless
I don't
you.
Remember.
God bless you.
And we
you.
Talked about it 2 hours ago?
I think, to be fair, I think this was 3 hours ago.
3 hours ago. All right. Nope.
Nope, nothing still?
Nope. Hold.
Yep. Okay.
Nope.
Oh, I saw a glimmer.
Hang on.
Okay.
No.
All right. It is Ice Cube. Ringing a bell?
Sure.
Do you remember?
I do.
Kevin, look at me.
I do. I remember that now. Okay. Now that you say it.
All right.
I'm just a little ashamed that I didn't remember it from 3 hours ago.
Yeah, it's concerning in a very sweet way. All right, you guys, what do you say we wrap this up?
Fantastic.
Who's in? All right. All these stars were born on today, September the 17th. Actor Kyle Chandler, he is 50. Rapper Dougie Fresh, turning 49 today. Actor Malik Yoba, 48. And NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson, he is turning 40. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. Ralph will be back tomorrow. We are going to do the movie beat because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. We also are going to check in with RJ Bell because it's Friday. He's our guy in Las Vegas that gives us the odds.
How good did he do?
Well, I mean, he gave us three picks and he was 3-0.
Yeah, he made a lot of the listeners a lot of money.
Yes, he did. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning as well, and the comedian Kumail Nanjiani tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.